Get those fingers dialing, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Who or what is on your list? It's therapy time. You've had all week to figure this out. Someone or something has made you mad. It just happens. That's how it works. That's why we do it on Friday, because all week, something's made you mad. So we want to hear about it. The best one's going to win tickets to see Shinedown at the Ryman. That'll be on May 13th, 737-1025. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
But you make the call. I'm ready either time.
Okay. Go for it.
You're giving me the floor.
Yeah.
All right. On my list, I noticed this at the Texas Rangers game when we went to the ballpark. Had a great time at the ballpark at Arlington. But I've seen this from time to time.
Globe Life Park.
I've seen this from time to time, and it's bothered me. But for the first time, I will reveal this.
First time?
As a list, yes. And I actually floated this out when we were hanging out after the... We came back to the hotel, and we were watching the hockey games. And I got some good feedback on this. I got some agreement, so I feel good about it. The people that make the throwback jerseys... For fans, great thing, right? We all love the jerseys that we saw as a kid. Like, for me, I was a baseball card collector. Mid-70s through mid-80s, I know every uniform, every player, all of those things. And when somebody goes and wears those in a game, the throwbacks, I get excited. Like, if, you know, they come out with the Cardinals this year, for example, they're wearing the old Robin Egg baby blue uniforms on certain days.
Yep.
That gets me going. I love that. It just brings me back to the childhood. But here's who's on the list. You don't make a retro jersey of a player that didn't wear that jersey. And the one that jumped out at me, a guy's wearing a Nolan Ryan jersey for the Rangers from the 70s. Well, Nolan Ryan was on the Rangers late in his career in the early 90s, right? He was on the Angels in the 70s, yeah. So he would not have worn that jersey. So that's a faux pas to me. That's a foul. And it's not the fan. The fan may or may not know. He just might just like the jersey.
Did they have that made, though? How do you
I'm saying whoever made it, I'm putting on the list, right? Like, for example, let's take it for the Predators. A lot of people love the old black and blue. Remember the third jersey they had with the dark navy?
Yep.
And they had a little black checkerboard in there.
It's very popular.
Very popular uniform before they went with the hardcore gold, which is obviously their calling card now. So you can't have, for example, a P.K. Subban Navy Preds jersey.
Doesn't make any sense.
He didn't play for the Predators for that. So if it's a throwback jersey, you can't have a player that didn't wear that jersey. So if you made a jersey... And it's with a player that didn't wear the throwback jersey because he wasn't on the team at that time.
You just made the list.
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense.
But
honestly,
it happens all the time. Like,
I don't
wait
know
a minute.
How do you get a 70s Rangers jersey of a guy that didn't play for the Rangers in the 70s?
Yes, you can't do that.
Sometimes you can get them custom made, though.
Yeah, I know, but why would you do that?
That's a foul. Don't do that. That's disturbing the force.
See, basketball is a little different because basketball have their nights to where they have throwback jerseys. Because I remember I had like an old Kobe Bryant jersey that was a Lakers jersey. That was the blue and white ones. And, you know, they actually wore those in the season. So that's the reason I got them.
The NBA
but baseball, you don't do that at all.
Well, okay, the NBA, you could. I mean, baseball does do that now, right? So you conceivably could wear a throwback jersey. Like, I think the Red Sox might have, remember the red hats they used to wear back in the 70s? They might pull those back out every now and then. Then that's all right if they wear those jerseys. But Nolan Ryan would not fall into that category.
Yeah, they weren't wearing throwback jerseys back when Nolan Ryan was playing baseball.
The NBA is out of control with the number of jerseys. I mean, some of these teams wear about 15 different jerseys in one season, right?
Yeah, they do.
I mean, it's the Golden State Warriors, you never know what they're coming out with. On the front or the back or what color they are, what's going on?
These playoff jerseys are confusing, too.
Very confusing. What's going on? In the playoffs, just go with your regular jersey. You don't mix it up in the regular season, but not in the playoffs. Now I'm coming up with like three or four others.
So you've gone down a whole nother path.
The uniform police, I'm just out and running.
Okay. I don't know if a lot of people saw this yesterday, but on Twitter, Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports, tweeted out, "I'm hearing Jeff Fisher is in line to coach Houston of the XFL." Wow. I saw that tweet. Didn't talk about it because, one, it's Jason Lockenfora. So I typically don't talk about anything he puts out there because I don't trust him. I don't believe him. Jeff Fisher then replies to the tweet. Yes, Jeff Fisher is on Twitter. He's got the blue check mark. It is him. At Coach Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher replies with, at Jason Lockenfora, "False news that I'm headed to XFL Houston. Maybe get better sources. Have a great Thursday."
I thought it was fake news, not false news.
Maybe he just doesn't want to. He doesn't coin the same.
Yeah. Right, maybe. Let's see. Charlotte Wilder tweeted at Jason Lockenfora, "I'd be very surprised if this happened." Then followed up with, "Just spoke to Jeff Fisher, who says he has been contacted by the XFL, but he hasn't accepted a job coaching in Houston or anywhere else." Jeff Fisher, let's see, Jason Lockenfora then tweeted out later on, "Just to be super duper clear, Jeff Fisher absolutely talked to the XFL about the Houston opening. He remains their top choice for that job, and the job is still vacant, and I never reported that he signed on." Jason Lockenfora, in related news, also tweeted out that John Bon Jovi will soon be the Titans owner.
That was a few years ago.
Jeez. Jason Lockenfora.
But what was it? What was the original tweet?
The original tweet from Jason Lockenfora, which I saw and I did not say on the air because, once again, it's Jason Lockenfora. "Hearing Jeff Fisher is in line to coach Houston of the XFL," in which Jeff Fisher replies to Jason Lockenfora, "False news that I'm headed to XFL Houston. Maybe get better sources. Have a great Thursday."
Okay, but now we can get into the semantics, right? In line, what does in line mean? Does in line mean he's going to take the job or he had a job interview? Because there it sounds like there was some contact between the two parties. True?
Well, Charlotte Wilder.
Charlotte Wilder, who we had
tweeted,
on our show.
Yes. Tweeted that, "Just spoke to Jeff Fisher, who says he has been contacted by the XFL, but he hasn't accepted a job coaching in Houston or anywhere else."
Okay, but in defense of Lockenfora, Lockenfora did not say he accepted the job. He said he's in line.
Right. But it prompted Jeff Fisher to say, "Your news is false."
And but maybe it's get not better false sources. And he met with him, though. See, Jeff Fisher can play on the words, too.
Well, he didn't say that he met with Houston. He said he met with the XFL. He said he
met
spoke
with the XFL.
With the XFL, the league. He didn't say specifically Houston.
Okay.
Just because he still deserves to be on it. Just because Jason Lockenfora.
You just made the list.
Honestly, I don't know how
this
that,
is really from the Bon Jovi.
That
thing,
guy has been at that level on a national stage for that long. I mean, he. Whenever a national media person who's been doing this for many, many years puts out stuff, and people like me, and there's others, a lot of other people don't read or look into anything he says, that's a problem. Like, how does he still have a job?
Did you guys see the Adam Rank tweet about Russell Wilson? So he tweeted about, before the Seahawks get all confident they can move on from Russell Wilson, they should take some time to remember they thought Matt Flynn was a franchise quarterback.
Yikes.
And then Matt Flynn replied, "Damn, dude, chill." and then Adam Rank responded to Matt Flynn and said, "Oh, yeah, no disrespect, man. I didn't mean it in that bad way." In a bad way. I'm just like, what?
Well, actually, you did, because you put that out there. I mean, you're poking fun at Matt Flynn.
And then he went.
As
and then Matt
he
Flynn,
should.
And then Matt Flynn responded.
Matt
and then,
Flynn stole. Look, Matt Flynn needs to shut up. He stole a lot of money. A lot. And good for him. He's set for life. But he didn't earn it, okay? He had a ski mask on. He stole a lot of money. Millions and millions of dollars in the NFL and didn't produce anything. So good for him. If you can get it, good for you, but you don't have any right to say
it. He might have been tweeting it from the beach. It is, you know, a nice new pad.
And like I said, good for you if you can get it. Matthew, down in Murfreesboro, who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. I know this one's easy to pick on, but Jared Stillman's on my list. And something that annoys me is the way he talks about authentically American scrubs, that he says, yeah, I was lounging with my buddies and my authentically American scrubs while watching the Preds game. And I'm like, Stillman, don't admit that you wear scrub bottoms while you're with your buddies watching the Preds game. So it's one thing to promote it. It's another thing to admit that you wear scrubs around your house. So, yeah, Stillman is definitely on my list.
All right, speaking of low-hanging fruit, Jason Lockenfora. And Jared, boy, that's, yeah, we've really, nothing's ticked us off. We got to go that well, huh? It's pretty funny, though. Very clever, Matthew. Thank you. 737-1025. Tristan, who or what is on your list?
Why do you guys always make me follow the best call of the day? I got two, which is, or three right now. The Coke Freestyle Machines, the Pucks in San Jose, and the Stanley Cup Touchers of this morning. You know who you are. You know who you are. Just don't do it. You know the rule.
It's already been done. Tristan, it's been done. It's done.
I know. Okay.
Okay, cool. By the way, I've had many other opportunities that I've never touched it. How's that worked out?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, honestly, that's what...
Well, don't get so sensitive. He just put you on the list. It's okay.
It's okay.
We've all been on the list.
But I also get a right to defend myself.
No, you don't need to. Just take it as a badge of honor.
I haven't touched it before, and guess what? That hasn't worked out either. So how about I do something different?
I think you just take your medicine and just be on the list. It's good. It's good to be on the list. You think Jared's worried about being on the list?
I didn't know you touched it. I was referring to Nick Cale and Chase.
Oh, yeah.
You?
No, Chase did it right after me. I touched it, and then Chase touched it. And Nick evidently made out with it.
Yeah.
From what I could tell.
Yeah. And Tristan, just for the record, I did not.
And Willie had his arms crossed like a snob.
Okay. Cool. But the pucks in San Jose, that's who's most on my list because those pucks right now got a score of two teeth and two balls. And I'm really upset about those pucks.
How's that series going to play out?
After last night's game, I don't have a clue now. None. I thought Vegas was going to win that last night.
Isn't that what's fun? Thank you, Tristan. That's what's fun. Every game, we change our mind. One game, it's like, oh, they're dead. The next game, it's like, I don't know. That was pretty good. Steve, who or what is on your list?
Hello, how you doing? On my list, I'm going to have to put it out there, getting older.
Okay,
I'm
why?
To put getting older. Why? Because it seems like nowadays we just age so much faster because stuff changes so fast. You know, it's like, you're on Facebook, you're a dinosaur. You know, it's unfortunate that it happens this way, but it seems like once you get past your 30s, they're ready to put you in a nursing home.
Yeah, well, the millennials don't help that because they think anybody over 25 is old until they get in their 30s, and then they'll stop saying that.
Yeah, you know, it's not like I'm over the hill, but I think I'm up there high enough where I can see on the other side. But and the thing about it, I caught myself trying to shoot ball with some youngsters, and they were so fast. And I looked at myself. If I went in it slower, I'd have to speed up to stop.
But don't you feel wiser?
Let it go.
Don't you feel wiser, Steve?
Say what now?
Don't you feel wiser these days, though, now that you're older?
Well, I feel wiser, but they told me, you ain't got a Cash App? I was like, no, I got cash. What I need a Cash App for? You know, I don't know. I guess I just keep pushing.
You're all right, Steve. Thank you.
Good stuff.
We'll come back. More calls on the other side. Who or what is on your list? 737-1025, 737-1025. That's all next on 1025 The Game. That should get you fired up. Somebody or something got you fired up. I mean, come on. Give me a break. We saw after Wednesday night you were fired up. We saw yesterday on the show you were fired up. Fired up. Some people fell off. We've got a couple lines available. Jump in there. 737-1025. 737-1025. Shinedown tickets on the line at the Ryman May 13th for the best. You just made the list. We'll get back to the phone calls in just a second. Reed Besh was in studio with us. He's been nominated by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society as the Man of the Year candidate. Anyone who donates to Team Reed today until 6 o'clock tonight will be qualified to win a VIP draft experience with ESPN's Golic and Wingo and First Take at Nissan Stadium next Friday. So a week from today, Reed's main goal is to find cures for blood cancer. So any amount helps. Go to our Twitter account at 1025thegame to learn how to donate. Really good conversation with Reed Besh in studio in the first hour of the program. I'm not going to have Willie give a speech, but we need to get more participation. Let's go. You know something is bothering you. Marty or Mary, who or what is on your list?
I actually have two things on my list. The first one would be the crew for the roads, especially on I-65, where they filled them in and then they called it a day. It's as rough as ever.
Really?
They didn't smooth them over. They filled in the big divots that were in the road, but they didn't smooth them out any, so it's still like you're driving over the little you know, track marks they put on the side of the road. It's pretty rough. Which means everybody gets in the left side of the road. My other one would be the IRS. I love how we're supposed to get everything filed by April 15th, but they're in no hurry to get you your return to you by April 15th. I filed end of January. There were some complications. Still processing, now being reviewed. So I'm looking at 3 months later and still don't know what the status is. I don't know if it's the whole college scandal or what, but it's now after April 15th, and I still don't know where my money is. So
you've got a refund coming back, and you've been waiting for months for the refund?
Yes.
It's interesting. I had to pay, and I had to pay instantly. Isn't that weird?
Exactly, yeah. They want their money instantly. They want to make sure you have to have your return filed by April 15th. Here is the 19th, and I still don't know what the status of mine is.
Well, Mary, you deserve to
if
put them on the list.
If I had my money from IRS, I could get some really good Shondown tickets.
Nicely played. Thank you for the phone call. Well done.
And All right.
That is a good point. Jake. Yeah, the IRS, their refunds, you have to wait for your money to get back. But when you have to pay, they want it right then. There's no like, hey, give us time to process and then we'll get you your money, Internal Revenue Service. No, it's you pay right now. But yet, why aren't refunds right now?
I can't imagine the IRS is never not on the list.
That's a good point.
Usually in some form or fashion of use.
That's a good point.
Could you imagine having to pay the IRS and then you send them an email saying, oh, it's processing. It'll get there in a few days or so. And then wait like a month or two. Like, oh, it's still processing. Could you imagine you doing that to the IRS?
Oh, I would love, I think would, everybody I would love it. To. Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Let's play the clip again from Jim Montgomery. I want people to hear this because to me, this is the motivational speech for Peter Laviolette going into Game 5. This is Jim Montgomery on the ticket in Dallas. Now, this is in the same cluster in the building we were in on Tuesday doing our show. Monday and Wednesday, we did it from American Airlines Center. So I don't know if this is a weekly with their show. We get a weekly with David Poyle throughout the course of the regular season. Maybe they have a weekly with Jim Montgomery, and that carries over into the playoffs. But either way, he was on one of their shows on the ticket, and this is what he had to say when asked about Hintz.
Well, I mean, you can see fear in their defenseman's eyes. Every time he gets on the ice, even off a faceoff, you're looking at him, and you can see whatever side of the ice he's on, they're backing up because they're like, there's no way I'm going to let him beat me to our net. But when they back up like that, that gives him the ability to cut in front of them and beat him through the middle of the ice. And he's just a big horse, you know. He's got incredible speed and power. And right now his confidence is sky high. And it's been like that for 6 weeks to 2 months.
That's what I would walk in and do tomorrow. I'd play that clip. I'd be playing it right now for him. Let him know that the opposing coach, head coach, sees fear in the eyes of the Predators' defense when Hintz is on the ice. Now, is he going to be a tremendous player? Is he already a really good player? Yes. He's a rookie. The sky is the limit for him. He looks like he is going to be the real deal, a guy that could score 25, 30 goals a year. But the Predators are always known for their defense, and these are a well-seasoned group. We know the Predators came into the playoffs in the Western Conference, the most seasoned group in postseason play. Nobody even close. San Jose a distant second, Vegas third in playoff experience minutes, and yet the opposing head coach is saying he sees fear in the eyes of the Predators' defense when Hintz is on the ice. If that doesn't get you going for Game 5, if that doesn't get you going into shutdown mode for Game 5, especially on him, if you don't have a pulse for that, then you probably shouldn't be out there skating tomorrow afternoon.
Maybe he made the list.
Who, Jim Montgomery?
Yeah, maybe he's on the list. Maybe the Predators will put him on the list and put the quote up there.
I would hope so. That would be a motivating factor for me. That's just me. All right, we'll come back. Speaking of that, Patrick Sharp will join us in about 15 minutes from NBC Sports. Of course, he played for the Stars, played, won cups with the Blackhawks, played in the league for a long time. We'll talk to Patrick Sharp in about 15. More of Darren and Donick on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN The Game Nashville is your home for the NFL Draft. That's starting on Thursday next week, April 25th. Tune in for interviews, analysts, analysis, and more. And analyst. You'll hear all kinds of stuff. 2019 draft coverage presented by Smile Direct Club, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Gary Force Acura, Richards Bespoke, and Boomboss. We'll actually talk to Jim Wyatt coming up at 1 o'clock from TitansOnline.com. Did you see where Steve Yzerman got sworn in as the general manager, the new general manager of the Detroit Red Wings? That's a fantastic move for them, I think. Makes a ton of sense.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he could run for mayor and win easy, I think, in Detroit. Or governor. I don't know. I mean, Steve Yzerman is about as popular as it gets.
But he's been pretty good in that role, right?
He's been outstanding.
I mean, he built the Tampa Bay Lightning, right?
Oh, no question. And that's why I'm sure people in Tampa are scratching their heads going, really? You gave us all this about I had to get away and I don't want to do it anymore. I got family and I got to be a dad, you know. And then 1 year later, he's right back and he goes to Detroit. So that... I guess just the bond he had with that organization is too strong. I do wonder how Tampa feels about it. That would be my first question is like, you know, did you have this in mind all along that you were going to do this? And you took the route of I'm stepping away. I guess that's his prerogative. I don't know what the contractual circumstances were. He's a heck of a GM. He's done a very good job in building Tampa, as you said. Not that Tampa's hurting going forward for talent, and they, you know, they've continued to do it. They've got some interesting decisions, Tampa, after losing.
Well, I was going to say, they probably have a lot of thoughts right now.
Well, they've got the good problem that a lot of teams have. They've got Braden Point, who's super young, but he's ultra-talented. He's going to get a ton of money, and that's going to mess with your salary cap. The Jets will have that to face as well with Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine. And it shakes up your salary structure in a big way. Tampa's going to lose some veterans as well, so they will look a little bit different. Detroit, meanwhile, is in a huge rebuilding situation. And I think the worst of it is probably over. They've got some expiring contracts, and they traded some guys away, but they're at the bottom starting to build, and that's where Yzerman takes over. And Ken Holland, the guy that oversaw that operation for a long, long time, I guess has been moved into some sort of consultant front office position. He'll still be kind of around, I guess. I mean, Ken Holland's been the GM of the Red Wings since the Predators came into the league and before that.
But I think this is a huge upgrade for them. I think this is...
Oh, yeah.
If you're the Red Wings, you have to love this. The Tampa Bay Lightning, did you see them tweet out when they were eliminated by the Blue Jackets?
I did.
We don't have any words, and we know you don't want to hear them. We understand your anger, your frustration, your sadness, everything you're feeling, we get it. This isn't the ending we imagined, and certainly not the one we wanted. Thank you for being there the entire way. That's from the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's what they tweeted out shortly after they were eliminated by the Blue Jackets.
At the end of the first round, there'll be 8 teams that have that feeling.
Well, the reason I appreciate it is because they didn't run and hide. and a lot of organizations run and hide in tough times and tough spots. They want to shut everything down. They want to run and hide. It's just best just to be out there and be open and honest, and that's what that is. That's a very open and honest and candid tweet that you can say, I say, good for you, because it's all true. Right? A lot of most wouldn't say a word after that.
I guess just to say we feel your pain, it's sort of obvious, but I don't think it's a bad move. But I think it just illustrates that when you're a great, I mean, it's great that you have passionate fans that probably some stay rational, some get irrational, just like regular people and whatever we're talking about. But I think if you look around, I think it's proof that the NHL, it is so hard, even for the best teams, to win the Stanley Cup. You don't just sign up and say, well, we have a great regular season team, and therefore you'll win the Cup. Predators found that out last year, right?
Of course.
It's a hard, hard tournament. Four rounds, best of seven, not much difference between number one and number 16.
I just like the fact that the first thing they said was, we don't have any words, and we know you don't want to hear them, because that's going to your point. Because right, you know, that particular moment, all Tampa Bay Lightning fans are just disgusted, right? They probably have their head in the toilet, and they're throwing up. Like, they cannot believe that that team just got swept and really got dominated. I mean, they just didn't get swept. They got dominated. Now, obviously, but look, it doesn't matter. This is not going to take anything away from Columbus, because this is what happens. Victor Hedman was not right. We know. And he's a big part of – and Kucherov got suspended in Game 3. That doesn't matter. Columbus dominated them. They were the better team. But I just like the fact that, you know, they came out and said, this stinks, and we really know you don't want to hear anything, because this just flat out stinks. But thank you for being there the entire way. But thanks. I just, for me personally, I appreciate that. Too many times organizations just shut everything down. They run and hide in tough times. And guess what? You're going to lose. There's only one winner. It's just like in bad losses. I don't know why players don't have to talk after losses. Why? Guess what? You're going to lose. You're going to lose a lot of games. So you only talk when things are good, when you win? That's BS. You sign up for a long grind. You're going to win and you're going to lose. Give me a break with not talking after losses. Everybody should talk after losses. You're not supposed to be happy about it. That's part of the job. Does everybody else shut down after losses? No. So I appreciate that tweet. I don't know if anybody else does, but I do. We'll come back. Patrick Sharp from NBC Sports. That's how we'll close out hour number three of Darren and Donick here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Here on Darren and Donick, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're awaiting the call from Patrick Sharp. Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com to kick off the fourth and final hour. Also, we're going to probably touch a little bit on Bryce Drew. Had some comments. He spoke. Who did he speak with again?
Pete Thamel,
yes.
From Yahoo.
And you got a chance that you pointed this out to me. I didn't see the article, but I guess a pretty candid conversation from Bryce Drew. Is that the first time he has spoken publicly? I know he had a couple of tweets, but really wasn't in depth as this was.
Yeah, this is pretty in depth. And so, yeah, he had a lot to say. Pretty much stating his case. And I think at this point, you know, he's just hoping to get back in and start a pathway back to another head coaching job.
And I'm sure he will. I'm surprised.
Most people believe
happened.
He will.
By the way, Mike Anderson named the St. John's head coach. So he goes from Arkansas to St. John's.
That could work.
I was surprised it didn't work out better in Arkansas, quite honestly.
St. John's might be the right spot for Mike Anderson.
Could be. Question is, can they, is the days of, you know, we St. John's, it's not 1986 anymore. So
right.
Are they ever going to be able to get back to being relevant again?
I don't know all the details as to why Chris Mullin left after 4 years. You know, when he took over, they were horrendous, and they did make the tournament this last year. They didn't play well in that appearance, but they made it. So he was doing a respectable job, I would think.
It was an ugly game, though.
Yeah, but one game shouldn't define, you know, from the time he took over and from the time he left, they made some progress there.
Yeah, and you're right. It was at rock bottom. Of course, they had, you know. It's been a while, really, since, I guess, when's the last time they were truly relevant? I guess it's been a while. So we'll see if Mike Anderson can change all that. But, yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the fourth and final hour. By the way, limited tickets left for Game 5 tomorrow. 2 o'clock puck drop. If you want to be a part of that, go to NashvillePredators.com. Also, we told you we had the Stanley Cup in the house in the first hour of the program. The Stanley Cup will be at Dierks Bentley's Whiskey Row on Broadway tonight from 5:30 until 7:30. So if you're going to be downtown, you've got a two-hour window to stop by Dierks Bentley's Whiskey Row and get a photo op with Lord Stanley Cup. And hopefully you're going to be in the building on Saturday for Game 5, because the series is tied at 2. And we'll see who will take the lead going into Game 6. Patrick Sharp is set to join us here in just a second. So we have been in the four-corner stall. I feel like Princeton right now, because Marquise has been sitting there talking on the phone with someone from NBC Sports for 4 minutes.
Patrick Sharp, of course, has had many a battle against the Predators over the years in his long and very successful career, but all those years in Chicago and, of course, eventually to Dallas.
You think he knows a little bit about the Predators and
the
Stars?
I think he knows a little bit about playing the Predators and the Stars.
Well, let's ask him. Patrick Sharp is indeed on the line with us from NBC Sports. Of course, former player that you just mentioned. Patrick, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. You know anything about the Predators or the Stars?
I know a thing or two, but first of all, I got to say I was a little nervous jumping on the air with the Nashville crew after being a former Blackhawk all those years, but I'm happy to be speaking.
Oh, that's not a heated rivalry. What are you talking about, Patrick? It's a very calm, you know, very calm rivalry. You know, in all seriousness, obviously that, you know, that changed 2 years ago with the sweep, because I think Chicago, fair to say, because they had, you know, as you know, they had been doing all the winning, and they won 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years, and they probably viewed Nashville as the cute story, but kind of the little brother. They were big brother, and obviously that changed after that series, and things haven't been the same since.
No, they have not, and I'm not going to say this because I'm on the Nashville radio right now, but in 2010, the Hawks beat the Predators, and I was there for that one, but that was one of the most intense series that we played, and if you remember, I mean, I'm going way back here, but we scored a goal late. Patrick Kane tied the game shorthanded in a game 4, I believe. So Nashville would have been up, going home with a chance to win the series. And we kind of stole one from Nashville there. But anyway, my point is...
Oh, we remember it well, Patrick. I'm sure everybody listening right now is going, oh, man.
Do you know why?
Bringing that one back up.
You won't remember this, or you won't know this, Patrick, but the reason that we remember it well, we were in the midst of a historic flood in our city.
Okay.
And that was going on literally during that game.
Yeah, it was a crazy series. And then same story in 2015. Corey Crawford, our starting goalie, got yanked, and our relatively unknown backup Scott Darling goes in there and, you know, has one of the best goaltender performances in one of those early games against the Preds, and we were able to steal some games there. But what a rivalry that is! And I did play for the Dallas Stars for a couple of years, so I can't even be a part of that 4-0 sweep, boys. Maybe that was why the Hawks lost. I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, you're right. And the reason that we kind of had that as a trivia question going back to the 2010 series, that was actually the last game one series that the Predators won, where in the last 13 playoff series, the game one winner has gone on to win the series. And the last time that string was broken was back in 2010. If you remember, the Preds took game one, and you guys would eventually take the series. And that's why we were talking about who's going to win game one in this series, how vitally important it is, because the game winner, one winner, the last 13 playoff series has gone on to win the series. It's tied at two. What have you seen through the first four games?
I've seen everything that I expected to see out of these two teams. You know, previewing the series, it's tough to give an edge to one team or the other. If anything, I would give Nashville the edge and experience. Man, watching that playoff run a couple of years ago where they did sweep the Hawks and eventually go all the way to the finals, the city, the building, the way it rallied around the team, and you could really see that the players on the ice fed off that energy. I felt like that was going to be a deciding factor in the series. And one thing that stands out to me, and I'm sure you guys have touched on it all season long, is that I don't know where the goals went for the Nashville Predators. I mean, they got some of the best talent offensively in the league, and they can't get that power play going. That's been a definite issue. I feel like this is a series that, you know, most likely will come down to a goal or two, most likely go seven games. And I don't think you can read too much into last game's, you know, lopsided score. That kind of happens. The penalties definitely played an issue early on in that one, but this one's too close to home.
Patrick Sharp is with us. And, Patrick, when you're on a team, you played for some of those loaded Blackhawks teams that when you went up against some teams in series, and probably 2010 would be a good example against the Predators, where the team is taking sort of a defensive mentality, and you want to be the attacking team, but you know the team wants to counterattack. They're looking for you to get impatient. It makes mistakes. So what were the keys for your teams when you played teams like that?
That's a good question. And playing Nashville, it was always a physical game. It was a tough to get through the neutral zone and get to that net where Pekka would be most nights. You know, when I watched the Dallas Stars, they're a team that when I played for them, it was a little opposite of what you see now. We were a high-flying, running-gun offensive team. And, you know, the Stars this year is a squad that I think they're one or two. I think they were second in the league in goals against. They have a great penalty kill, and their goaltending's been fantastic. Those are elements of their game that definitely wasn't there in the past. So the shoe's kind of on the other foot. I look at Nashville as an aggressive team. When they get going in the offensive zone with those little water bugs, I call them, Arvidsson, Grimaldi's been playing great. Philip Forsberg, to me, is one of the best offensive talents in the game. It can be a lot to handle, but what separates Nashville from other teams in the league is their top four defensemen. I don't know if there's a better top four in the league. Maybe they're playing a little too much through the start of this series. I don't know if that any of those guys will ever admit to that, but the way that Dallas is getting in on the forecheck and trying to wear them down, you know, it's a seven-game series, and it's not always just one period, one game. Those things pay dividends in the end, so it's a hard-fought series, and we'll see what happens. I'm sure that crowd in Nashville will be fired up tomorrow afternoon.
So did you stress patience in the locker room? What was the mentality when you know the other team, they want you to come at him. They know they have the horses. I'm not sure if Nashville has that much more talent than Dallas, but they look like they may be a little bit deeper, at least on paper. We know they want to attack and take the game to Dallas, and Dallas is very willing to win 2-1, 1-0 if they need to.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's a patient-style game. I think special teams comes into play in situations like that. And it's just a roller coaster of emotions, and it's something that Nashville as a team has been through before. You know, you score a goal or win a game, you feel like everything's going the right direction, and you're going to win the series and go on a deep run. And then the opposite happens when you see what we saw last game. Dallas comes out on home ice, scores a bunch of power play goals early, and it feels like, man, we can't get anything accomplished there. But the way Dallas plays, that patient game through the neutral zone, puck possession is key. And we saw it in some of the other series as well. Columbus was aggressive in the forecheck, but also patient through that neutral zone to shut down Tampa Bay. You can say the same thing for the Islanders. It's almost like whoever stays to their team game longer is going to win, force the other team to open up in some way. And a couple big reasons for that is scoring first and special teams. So those are two keys for game the next game.
Patrick, your thoughts on the Winnipeg-St. Louis series, another one that's very intriguing. Of course, the winner of the series between Dallas and Nashville gets the winner of that one, and the road team has won all five, but what a shocker last night.
yeah, we were watching that game in studio, and we were all set to get out of there and talk about how well Winnipeg played and won the game and have a commanding series lead here going back to St. Louis. And then all of a sudden, here comes St. Louis with a game-tying goal and wins the game with 15 seconds left to kind of steal it from the Jets. But, you know, it's just another Central Division matchup that we've come to expect over the years. I think it's the best division in hockey. I know the numbers may not show that this season, but, geez, five teams from the Central got in the playoffs. You look at St. Louis and Winnipeg, it's tough to pick a winner in that one. The fact that the road team has won each and every game so far tells you how close the series is. I think there's a little more size in that series than there would be in the Dallas-Nashville one, a lot more physical play when I watch it. But whoever comes out of each series, it's just going to be another grind. And it's kind of unfair for those Central teams. You know, to get out of that Central division and then go on to a conference final, you're really taxing the system, and then you got to throw everything you can to win those.
Patrick, tomorrow's game is going to be on the national stage on NBC. I don't think Chicago, when you played there, was ever on the national stage, or they never played in the Winter Classic, so you may not be able to answer this. In all seriousness, and it may be a dumb question, but when you are on that stage and you're going to have, you know, way more eyes than just a normal game, did you ever take a different approach as a player? Because, like I said, in all seriousness, you were on that stage a lot. Did players in the room talk about that at all, or you just treat it as a normal game?
I think for the playoffs, you do so much at stake that you've got enough to worry about, and you treat it as a normal playoff game. But that definitely applies to the regular season, no question about it. 82 games is a grind for hockey players. You're playing 3-4 games a week. All of a sudden, you got a national coverage audience watching you play a regular season game. Guys get up for that. And that was definitely something that us in Chicago, we got used to early on. We got our first Winter Classic game back in 2009. Of course, we got pounded by the Red Wings time and time again, but those were experiences and opportunities that we got to feel comfortable playing in those big moments. And, I mean, whether the playoff game is on the national stage or not, everybody's watching these playoff games in the hockey world. So all eyes are on each series, doesn't matter where you're playing. I think that's something that Nashville's gotten better at over the years. They are a completely different team now than they were a couple of years ago. A lot of it has to do with that 4-0 sweep over the Hawks, to be honest with you. They just seem to get the momentum from that series, became a winning team. I mean, they've always been a complete team, but it feels like they just rode that momentum to the finals, and now you watch them in a playoff series. They've got that experience. They know how to handle the emotions of a tough loss like they had last game against Dallas. I expect them to bounce back and be ready to go tomorrow afternoon.
Last thing, you just referenced it, and Nashville used that momentum all the way to the Stanley Cup final against Pittsburgh. I ask you, do you think, and think about it, it's almost in the same fashion, Columbus sweep of the one seed in the fashion that they did, can they use that momentum and can they ride this thing to the end?
I was thinking the exact same thing watching that series. It reminded me exactly like the Preds-Hawks series. And a lot of people are saying huge upset, and of course it is going into that series. I don't think a lot of people going back to Nashville had Nashville beaten the Hawks, and certainly nobody really had Columbus beating Tampa the way that they did. But when you watch those four games in both series, the better team won. It was physical hockey. It was complete hockey. Both teams played a perfect game. And the way that Columbus feels now, I mean, that East is wide open. Pittsburgh's gone. Tampa Bay's gone. Boston, Toronto are beating each other up. Why can't Columbus, if they continue to play they did the way that they did against Tampa, who's to say that they can't ride it to the Stanley Cup final just like Nashville did a couple of years ago? So momentum is a very real thing in the playoffs. You got to get those guys feeling those good feelings, getting hungry to come to the rink, play in front of the crowd like we saw Nashville did years ago, and anything can happen.
Keep up the good work on television. Thanks for the visit. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Nice talking to you.
All right, that is Patrick Sharp from NBC Sports. Of course, Predators Stars Game 5 on NBC. 2 o'clock puck drop tomorrow afternoon. Kick off the final hour with Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com, next.